Bible, Enoch's story is back in Genesis. However, we see here in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch, very simply, as we see in Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. It is a very simple story. It doesn't go into a lot of detail. We don't know how tall he was. We know how long he lived. But beyond that, we don't know much about him. And it's not a very, it's not a great biography for a man who lived 360 plus years. However, it tells you all you need to know about him. He walked with God. He walked with God. I was watching a preacher this afternoon, and he was a preacher that I know. And I sat there, I was thinking, when was the last time I saw him? It was almost 5 years ago was the last time I saw him. This is a man I would have counted as a friend. I go, that's my friend. I go, I know him. Because he was preaching at a conference and he stood up. And I go, I know that guy. I'm going to sit here and listen to him. And oh, he's my good friend. And we spent that week at camp. And we talked about all sorts of stuff. I learned all sorts of things about him. And 5 years since the last time I talked to him. That's not a very close friendship, is it? Not at all. You know, I've got some people I grew up with from high school, and I'll tell you what was it, Danielle's mom, she said, hey, do you remember going to school with this guy? He was one grade above you, told me the guy's name. I don't even remember the guy's name right now. Do you remember him? Nope. Now, I'm sure we probably had a bunch of classes together. We might have even had assignments together. I don't know him. Why? Because I didn't keep in touch with him. I didn't think much about him. And I don't really remember having a relationship with him. Not at all. You see, we think we have a relationship with God. And you very well may. I didn't mean that to sound the way that it did. But we believe that we have a solid relationship with God. But there are some questions we've got to answer. How close do I know God? How close am I walking with God? Oh, we may be able to spout off the verses that we've memorized. We may know Bible doctrine forwards and backwards. But what it really comes down to is, do you know the God you serve? We see so much of his mind in his word. We see so much of his personality and the way that he does things. We hear his explanations of his love and his care and how he cares for us. We know that he was willing to give his only son to die on the cross for our sins. We know so much about him. However, how often do we really consider him? Do we walk with him? Enoch is a unique character in the Bible. The few glimpses we are given of this special man reveal him to be an extraordinary human being. It's a very brief view, but it's a very majestic picture of an outstanding person. Who did outstanding things? You know, we can all think of men and women in our lives, men and women who've maybe gone on to be with the Lord now, that we consider great people of faith. And we consider those people and we think about those people. Did you know there's nothing stopping you from being one of those people? The only difference between you and them is they're doing it and you're not. You see, while Enoch was a fantastic man, Enoch had a wonderful testimony, so much so that all these years later, we're still talking about him. I mean, Enoch, man, to walk with God so close, that God just says, all right, you might as well just come on up here. I mean, that's wonderful. But he was a sinner just the same as you and me. He was just a person just like any of us here. We have the ability to walk as Enoch walked. We've got all the strength, all the wisdom. We've got all the tools we need. We just don't do it. And oh, what a shame for us that we would leave such an important relationship unfulfilled. That we would not take full enjoyment of that relationship. We can think of a lot of our relationships. I'll tell you what, sometimes part of the relationship I'll have with my kids is sometimes I'll just watch them do stuff. You ever just watch your kids while they were growing up do stuff? It could be a very rewarding thing. You know, you see Gideon outside playing in the backyard, figuring stuff out, working things out. That's very rewarding for me. That's a very rewarding part of my relationship, just to watch him doing stuff. Sometimes Caspian will get to explaining stuff to me, and I've got no idea what he's talking about. But I'll sit there and listen. Maybe I'll learn. That's a very rewarding part of our relationship. You know, Danielle and I, we don't quite get the date nights that we used to. But it's important for us to work on relationships like that. To experience and enjoy those relationships that we have with people around us. What about that neighbor? What about that friend? What about that person you used to spend time with and you haven't thought about for a while? We invest in those relationships. But what investment can we really say we've put into the relationship we have with God? And I think about this when I think about Enoch walking with God. Have you ever seen a group of people, maybe they're dismissed from a class, maybe they're dismissed from a get-together. You all think about camp. Camp, we start off every morning with a flagpole prayer time, and there's a devotion and there's some prayer, and you'll see people walk off. And sometimes you'll see a family group walk together. Sometimes you'll see a group of friends walk together. Why do they walk together? Because I know you, I like you, I want to be around you. Which, come Thursday at camp, is a difficult thing to want to be around everybody. But nonetheless, you know, I don't care that you've been showering down here in this mountain water for a while. That's fine by me. But out here sweating the 90-degree heat, I'll walk with you because I like you. You know, when people see us, what they see should be that we are walking with the Lord. And that sounds very metaphorical, but there is a reality to it. When I get up in the morning, I want to talk to him. Don't you have that in other relationships in your life? Hey, I get up. You know, I like to go see the kids in the morning. Good morning, Daddy. And oh, it feels so good. Go over to the little princess back there. Buongiorno, Principessa. And she'll look over at me. She goes, ah. Smiles at her, da-da, provided she's had breakfast. If she ain't had breakfast yet, it's a little dodgy. A little dodgy. Got to give her food. You got to put breakfast in front of her. She's much more conversational. But our walk will be noticed. The time we spend with God will be noticed. We'll want to see him in the morning. We will want to go check in with him throughout the day because we acknowledge God for who he is. He is my heavenly Father. I like him. I love him. I need him in my life. I want to have that conversation with him. I want to be found close to him when there is trouble. I don't want to have to sit there and get down on my knees and say, hey, Lord, before I get to the super important thing, there's about 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7 days worth of sin. I got to get right first. And then, okay, now can you help me? I want that stuff clear. As a matter of fact, there'll be a whole lot less of that stuff if I go to him and I'm walking with him as I should be. Enoch rose quickly from a company of obscure early humans to become a patriarch and a prophet of renown. This man left an impact that he is named by 3 different writers of the New Testament. He's mentioned in Luke, he's mentioned in Hebrews, he's mentioned again in Jude. How, after all this time, are people still talking about him? Because he had that unique relationship and he lived it successfully. He didn't let anything stop him. And I tell you what, he's the first man that we see outside of Cain that has really mentioned anything about him. We got Cain and we're still reeling from Cain. There's a list of people and so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so and they lived this many years and they died. And now we've got Enoch and there's this wonderful news about Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And then you have to wait till the book of Hebrews to find anything more else about him. How is it that God saw fit to bless him in this way? As we read in verse 5 again of the book of Hebrews, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. See, Enoch experienced God every day. Enoch knew God all the time. He'd get up in the morning and he'd pray. Well, how do you know he'd do that? Because it's not a physical walk with God. Enoch couldn't look over and hold the Lord's hand and walk through the woods with him. He couldn't sit there and say, hey, we're doing 3 miles today, Lord, let's go. That's not the kind of walk he had. It was a relationship walk. He talked to him. Do you talk to him? How often do you talk to him? What is the nature of your experience with the Lord? You know, I worked with a lot of people I had no relationship with whatsoever. I told you about my accountant friend earlier today. Would you believe she had nothing to do with me? I had nothing to do with her. We had to do a charity event one time. We were doing a walk. We did 3 miles together, just kind of walking. We had to develop a relationship, even though we didn't necessarily want to, because she would tell me to change my paperwork, and I would be the one causing her to stop what she was doing so I could change my paperwork. We had to stop and walk together. We walked together in a group. We got to be good friends. Would you believe that relationship continued on, and we were good friends all the way up to the day I quit, and we still talk every now and then? We don't. It ended right there on that walk. We were done. And I sat there and I was like, all right, how are you? Good, how are you? That's it. Many of us, that's the depth of our prayers. Lord, forgive. Lord, gimme. Lord, bless. Amen. There's no conversation. Lord, I'm frustrated. Lord, this is what's going on. Lord, help me to understand. Lord, I know that you know what's going on, but I want to explain it to you so that maybe, Lord, as I'm speaking to you, you can use the Spirit to correct me and help me to see things. Lord, as I get into your word today, help me to understand this. One of my favorite things to do is while I'm studying and reading, sometimes I'll talk to him. Now, Lord, I don't know where that is. I don't know what that means. I'm going to grab this book, help me to be read. I'm going to grab this definition. I'm going to grab this dictionary. I'm going to look into this. I'm going to research that. Okay, now I think I get it. And I'll start looking around to make sure that definition that I just found fits with the rest of what Scripture says about that thing. And I'll have that conversation the entire time. It's one of the best things you can do. You want a close walk with the Lord, it is one of the best things to do, is study the Bible and talk to Him while you do it. Talk to him on the way to work. Talk to him on a long car ride. Talk to him on a short car ride. Get up in the morning while you're drinking your coffee or your tea and you're sitting on the back, you talk to him. When you've got a moment of joy, you talk to him. When you've got a moment of frustration, you talk to him. You want to experience God, you've got to get up close to him. And you're not going to find him anywhere else but in his house, in his word, and on your knees. We see in Scripture in the book of Genesis, immediately after Methuselah's birth, the word declares an Enoch walked with God. The naming of Enoch's son, therefore, was a prophetic act. Methuselah was the grandfather of Noah and died the year the flood came. Every sovereign move of God in our lives should draw us into a walking relationship with Him. What does that mean? Some of you, you're going through some hard times right now. We're praying for people who are going through some hard times right now. Reaching out to Him will deepen that relationship you have. I've been through some hard stuff with people, and I tell you what, it brought us closer together. Going through that difficult thing, you get close to the Lord during that time. With the blessings, the barriers, the stumblings, the hurt, all of those things will deepen the experience you have with God. No matter what we do, it goes back to the relationship we have. When we sin, it is a declaration of our relationship with Him. When we disobey, it's a statement about our relationship with Him. When we are apathetic and we've backslidden and we've grown cold, it is a statement of our relationship with Him. In every moment, we should be found walking with God. Seeing the times in which he lived, Enoch began his faithful and profitable journey to a wonderful destiny. I mean, we want to consider what's going on at this particular moment. The incline of sin was getting up towards its peak. This is a couple years before the flood. A couple hundred years before the flood, of course. However, people had already begun to do the things that would make God want to destroy the earth. Many people say, well, it's easy to walk with God when everybody's walking with God. There's no guarantee that everybody during Enoch's time was walking with God. And I'll tell you this, it does not matter the path. It does not matter the resistance in the path. When you are walking with God, there is nothing easier and nothing better. Well, you know, not a lot of people do that anymore. What does it matter? I'm having a great experience walking with God. I have a friend that cares, a father that listens. I've got blessings for things that I can't explain. I've got answers to problems I didn't know were coming, but the answer was set up a long time ago. I've got a wonderful experience walking with God. I don't care what anybody else has to say. I don't care. Well, it's not, you know, you got to be a little bit more modern. You have to understand how crazy you sound and how that might turn people away. That's their business. That's their business. I've been in danger and had rescue too often to care about modern thoughts. I've had needs that have been answered seemingly out of coincidence. I've had it happen too many times for me to think about what other people care about. I don't care what other people say. I have received more from this experience walking with God than anything else. And I'll tell you this, the experience when I walk too far behind Him isn't all that pleasant. When there's sin in our lives, when we are apathetic in our Bible study, in our prayer lives, when we are not as close to Him as we should be, it is not as good as when we're right there close to Him. It is a great lifestyle living for Jesus Christ. It really is. When we walk further back, when we compromise, we lose so much. We really do. We see along with Enoch's walk with God, Enoch pleased God. The writer of the book of Hebrews described Enoch's life beautifully when he declared, "For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Can I ask you a question? If God were grading the test that is your life, how would you do? We're all at different points in that test. Some of us are just starting off. Some of us feel like we're getting down to the bottom of the page. If God were to grab your paper right now and take a look at it, what grade do you think you'd have? You know, if you're sitting there going, wow, the first some odd years that I've had have not gone so well, and I don't think I've got more left than what I've already lived, so what do? You live the last ones to the fullest. Some of us are young. Well, I haven't had a lot of time in this test, so I've got some wiggle room. You don't know how long this test is going to be. You please God now. And you take advantage of every day that He has given you to enjoy that experience with God. Enjoy that walk. Enjoy that relationship. Enjoy that lifestyle. He pleased the Lord. I know a lot of people who are men pleasers. They just got to do what makes other people happy. They got to do what other people find interesting. They got to do what pleases others. I remember when I told people that I was called to preach, there's not a lot of money in that. And I said, well, I guess not. You know, you're never gonna go too far with that. You should always have a second job backed up just to make sure you can have some success in your life. And I had to explain to him, you and I have very different ideas of what success is. If my God looks at me and he's pleased with my life, that is my definition of success. It is. Man, there are people out there, well, how many zeros you got in your bank account? How big is your house? What kind of car do you drive? What's your title at work? What's this? Those are not the keys to success. They are great things to have, but they are not going to make you happy. If you are a sad person in a shack, you'll be a sad person in a mansion. Ask the people in the mansions, they'll tell you. The heart don't change. Money don't change that heart. Titles don't change that heart. Jesus Christ changed my heart. And I'll tell you what, I don't need those things. And I don't need men sitting there clapping at me, saying, oh, what a great man you are, in order for me to feel good. It is beyond, well, how much can you bench press? How much can you lift? How far can you run? What rewards do you have sitting at home? Did you play football back in high school? We don't need those things to justify what success is. I want the Lord to be pleased with my life. And I don't know about you, but I feel as though I've got a lot of work to do in that area. And I'm sure you'd agree with me in your lives. We got a lot of work to do in that area. We ought not to be men pleasers, but those that seek God and what He would say. Our society has become such a sea of refuse and debauchery, it'd be funny if it weren't so gross. The stuff you could turn on the television and watch. Nowadays, we don't even need the television. You got your electronic device with streaming video. You watch anything you want. Kids can watch anything they want. There's a debate right now about the kind of books they're putting in kids' libraries. And of course, you know the argument. It's wrong to ban books. Freedom of information. Meanwhile, you got a 10-year-old checking out a book. It's pretty much pornography. There was a news clip. I didn't watch it because the what they said up next, and it was a picture of a child, something about a PTA, not a PTA meeting, but a school board meeting. They made a child come up and read a book that he found in the library that had pornographic content in it. I didn't watch it. I think you understand why I didn't watch it. But I sat there, I go, oh boy, because I've heard of adults doing it. They brought a kid up there and do it, which I don't agree with, but it proves a point. Well, they got to have access to that stuff. Only a pedophile would want a child to know about that stuff. I don't care. I mean, a certain age, man. A certain age, what's wrong with you? Well, we need to teach 4th and 5th graders and 4 and 5-year-olds about this. Are you sick? Why would a child need to know that? Unless you wanted him to use that information. Well, it would help them transition into a different gender. It'll help them transition into a different sexuality. It will help them. Man. I mean, let's be honest. When we come down, I want you to think about yourself at 4 and 5 years old. What could you be trusted with at 4 or 5 years old? I remember being a kid, our next door neighbor, her name was Jean. She would take us when mom had to go to work, and she'd watch us for a little while until someone came home to be with us. So often we'd come home from school, we'd go over to Jean's house, and she would watch us, and she'd put us down in front of the television. And that was back when they started those television shows with the kids where you had to guess stuff like, hey, where's the dog? I'm sitting there at 4 and 5 years old guessing where the dog is wrong. Right? What's this? It's a pencil. No, it's a salt shaker. I didn't know what I was doing. What 4 or 5 year old do you know should be making permanent lifestyle decisions? I know why you're doing that. You're trying to pull the wool over my eyes, but I know what you're doing. We live in a debauched world. It is very hard to maintain a life that pleases God. But it's not impossible. And it doesn't mean that it's an unreachable goal. As a matter of fact, it's very reachable. It's very obtainable. It is difficult, but it is something anyone who loves God and is saved by His grace can do. Even more so, we're commanded to do it. We are commanded to walk with God. We are commanded to please God. And the benefits, all the benefits of doing so, far outweigh anything this world has to offer. Because I'll tell you this, if you strive to please man, if you try to please society, you'll get this. But eventually the applause dies. And you're on your own. They've got people they lift up. They've got these very decadent, very carnal lifestyles. They lift them up and, oh, aren't they interesting? Oh, aren't they wonderful? But the moment they can stop making a dime off of them, they're going to drop them. You watch. We think about all these people, we lift them up, oh, they're wonderful, they're the voice of their generation. You wait 3 years. When society goes a different direction, we'll forget about that person. They'll leave them alone. And there they are with their scars and their trauma and the damage that sin has wrought in their lives. And what are we doing as Christians? We're sitting there begging for their approval. What a sad approval to have. How sad. We ought to walk with God the way Enoch walked with God. Here, a prophet of God who lived millennia before Christ's first coming prophesies of his second return, not only because he prophesies of Christ's second return, but he prophesies of divine justice that will take place at this return as God deals with sin and rebellion. Now, when we say that he's prophesying, we look back at this verse. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What we're seeing there is almost a hint at something we've got coming forward. You know what I'm talking about, right? There will be a day when God's people are not found. We will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Changed. Translated. From this sinful flesh to a body that could stand in heaven. And will stand there. Unworthy. Undeserving, but welcome all the same. Welcome all the same. He tells here, he foreshadows of the coming of something, and I'll tell you what, I am looking forward to it. I'd love to go out like Enoch. I'm waiting for that rapture. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But I'll tell you what, if I've got to die first, I'll die first. I don't care how the Lord does it. But I like this idea of seeing that Enoch experienced something that is yet for us to come. He was a type of something. For those of us that are saved and we please the Lord and we're alive during this time, it will be an honor to be among the raptured, I believe. Wouldn't that be a fun story? Well, how'd you get here? Well, heart attack. How'd you get here? Car wreck. How about you? Lost at sea. What about you? Well, one day I was driving, next minute I'm here. I think that'd be funny. You get a kick out of that. I shot straight through the ceiling, man. I watched the world get so small, and I watched heaven get closer, and I heard you all up here. Oh, and now I'm here. That's a great story. Love to tell that story. He is a type, not only of what's happening with the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's a type of us. Of one day when we too are translated. But what is it that is necessary? Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. I know a lot of people that are glad to sit there and say, well, the Lord knows my heart. I'm pretty sure as long as I'm happy, he's happy. Did you know God's not like that? He ain't like that. I want my children to be happy. Don't you want your children to be happy? Some that grow up and maybe what makes them happy is robbing banks and doing drugs. Now, as long as they're happy, you're happy, right? No? That's not how God is. God wants you to be found faithful. He wants you to be found right. Not because these are his rules and he's a megalomaniac, but because there are definitely things wrong with the things that make us happy sometimes. There's definitely some things wrong there. So he says, hey, do these things. This is what I want you to do. And if you've got faith enough to follow me, that is how you please me. You got to do it right. As we preached this morning, you got to do it right. You got to do it the right way. You got to do it God's way. If I've got faith, I'm following him, I'm serving him, I'm doing as I'm supposed to, and I'm trusting in him. Only then will I have the ability to make him happy with what I'm doing. And that shouldn't sound so selfish to us. It shouldn't. You know, I'd like my kids to be careful. I like when my kids play in the yard. I hate it when my kids play on the roof. I don't think that it's irrational or mean or judgmental of me to prefer them not to be on the roof. I love my kids running around. I don't like them running around in the street. I don't think that's mean, restrictive, or harsh. I think that's just common sense. It is not mean or hyper-controlling of God to want us to abide by His statutes. His statutes are there for a reason. And if we are breaking His commands, if we're going against His teachings, it is impossible, impossible to see that He is happy with us. We all think about what will happen as we stand before the Lord. That phrase, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We all want to hear it, but you've got to be good, you've got to be faithful, and you've got to be a servant while you're doing those things. Or else what? I don't know too often what other options He may say to the elect that have shown up and done nothing. But I'm sure there's something to be said for them. I don't want to be one of them. I want to be someone where the Lord looks at me and He wants to say, well done. But when we put these things together, when I live a life of faith, and my relationship with Him means something to me, and I'm pouring my time into it, and I'm pouring my energy and effort into it, I'm putting things into this relationship, and I'm walking with Him, and I'm living by faith, and I'm doing what He asked me to do, then what happens? Reward. Reward. You know, if you've ever sat there and you've ever helped somebody across something, you know, if you're sitting there hanging on to something, you go to fall, it's good to have something to lean on, is it not? If you've got a close walk with the Lord, it's going to be easier to lean on Him than if you're walking far away. There's a lot less trouble in that area. Anybody here, when you were a kid, you used to cause trouble with maybe a sibling, and then you'd go and you'd run into whatever room your parent was in? Is that just me? I'd look at my brother, I'd push him. Go running into go sit next to Mom, see what he'd do. What are you gonna do? I'm next to Mom, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna come get me? Man, there's less trouble when I'm sitting next close to God. There's less trouble. That doesn't mean that there ain't trouble. It doesn't mean that there isn't illness and trials and things like that. Those are, but they're a whole lot smaller of a burden than they would be if I carried it on my own. Getting frustrated and angry. Having to face these things without the blessings. Without the preservation from things. What was Enoch spared from? Enoch was spared from death. People looked around, he was just not there. Just not there anymore. He was spared from a lot of the things that we struggle with. And again, he just that honor. Well, Enoch, how'd you get here? Did you drink from that pond? Did you get too close to this animal? What are you doing here? One day the Lord just said, come on up, and here I am. Changed my body, it'll be a lot more like yours. Here I am. You know, I have found myself in that position a time or two where, well, Matt, how'd you get out of that? I don't know. Lord just, He did something. You know, hey, what? Didn't your boss say he was going to fire you if you didn't show up and do this thing with the maintenance team? And didn't they say if you weren't here during that time? I go, yeah, but I was made a commitment. I was supposed to be here with the church. And I just, they said they were going to fire me. They never did. I rode that train for years. Matt, you're supposed to take the emergency on call. When that phone rings, I offered some of my coworkers $20. You take my call, you get paid for my calls, $20 just for holding on to the thing. And you know what I found almost every week? Someone needed $20. Someone needed it. So my boss would sit there and goes, you know the one, he goes, you know there's going to come a day when someone ain't going to want to take that money. I go, well, then I'll make it 30. We'll see what they do. You know, when we put the Lord first, how'd you make that happen? I don't think I did. God did. You ever sit there, ever have a mechanic tell you, I don't know how you drove this in. Me neither. But God does. I was driving down 275 to get up to Canton in Michigan, one of the sites that we had there. Something in the suspension broke on my car. I'd driven it up the freeway, parked it there, got in my car to go leave. As I backed it up, the wheel fell out of the car. I had just parked it from driving on the freeway that morning. And I sat there, and the guy who was towing it, he goes, "So wait, where'd you come from?" I told him where I came from. "And you drove all the way up here, and the car was about ready to do that?" I go, "Yep." He sat there, he just goes, "Whew." He goes, "You are lucky." I go, "No, I'm not. I'll tell you. You know, I've stood in front of barrels of guns. I've been in bad positions. I've been in bad areas. I've found out about things, situations that I could have been a part of that I wasn't. How'd you avoid that?" God just didn't let it happen. You know, it could have gone bad, but God didn't. Don't you know what kind of danger you were in? Sometimes no. Why? Because God blinded that from me. I didn't see it. Or I didn't have to see it till later, because who knows what I would have done if I knew that there was danger. Lord probably knew I didn't have the faith to go through with that. But I have found solutions. Returns and overpayments of insurance just showing up in the mailbox days before certain bills are due. Troubles and trials that come up just around the time when there's a little extra money in the bank. You walk with the Lord, he'll hold you off from a lot of the trouble that you live with. Not everything, but there'll be a lot less. Because my Heavenly Father cares for me, and he watches over me. And I ain't walking anywhere else other than right next to him. I remember one of the first times we were door knocking down in Cincinnati, Dan Farrell, 7 foot tall preacher. Man was the size of, he was just huge, right? Built like a refrigerator. We'd go down to some of the neighborhoods there in Cincinnati, and they were rough. And every now and then, I'd stand right next to him. And sometimes, I stood right behind him. "Praying for you down here, brother. I am right here. You turn around too fast, though, I'm going to have a problem." My God is big. He is a shield. As the Bible says, he is a buckler to me. He's a shield from a lot of things. Where else would I walk than by the one who's willing to take care of those things for me? All I need is faith. All I need is simple obedience. Enoch got this great reward. The question we've got to ask ourselves is, what would be said of us if we were translated right now? We talk about Enoch's rapture or Enoch's translation. Well, what happened with him? It's because he had this, because before that he had this testimony that he pleased God. Brother Matt Rowland was not, for God took him. What would be the next sentence? Put your name in there. So and so was not, for God took them. What's the next sentence? Because they just weren't getting it. That'd be horrible, wouldn't it? Because they just weren't getting it. God took them. Why? What about your walk and your relationship with God would be revealed if God took you right now? God took you right now. Some of us, we've got things we like to hide. We've got problems we've yet to take care of. Things we could have fixed that we haven't. If I want to please God, I got to take care of those things. I've got to be real and take him seriously. And I've got to put things together properly. Enoch walked faithfully. And this passage of scripture talks about how his walk was completed. He left something behind, however. Walked with God, pleased God. He left something behind. And that's his testimony. It's his testimony. I think that it would be a very wonderful thing to be said about any of us that we walked so closely with God that people didn't even know. Not only did people notice, but it made them want to walk close to him too. That the passionate love we had for our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that the passion we had in that love inspired others. And they thought, there's got to be something to it. There's got to be something to it. Everything I know in life tells me that that person is crazy, but you see how happy they are. Do you see how in almost every situation they've had it a whole lot easier than they could have? You see the peace and lack of fear they had as they got closer to the end of that walk? I want to know that, Lord. And I'll tell you what, no one's going to be encouraged more by our walk with God than those who are also walking with God. And really, that's who you're going to get. That's who you're going to inspire. You know, I think of a few men got up early. They read the Word of God. And they prayed. They didn't do a thing without talking to the Lord first. Every problem they had, they brought to Him. Every frustration, wrong, or slight done against them, they took it to the Lord. They had a verse for every situation. They had a passage of Scripture for every problem. There was some I could pick up the phone, I could call, and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm struggling with this right now. All right, what's your email address? Okay, here it is. I'd open it up, there would just be verses and explanations to the verses. Pick the phone back up. Did you just have this saved in your computer waiting for someone to call asking about it? Are these your notes? No, these are the verses I know that I figured would help you. I want to be that guy. Don't you want to be that person? I want to be the person that's so close to the Lord that the Word of God just pops up in my mind, that I'm so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that it doesn't take much more than a gentle nudge to get me to go into the right direction. I want closeness with God. Jesus Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. He says, they know me. They follow. That's what I want to be. Oh, sure, in our common modern era, to be called a sheep isn't very polite, but it's just an illustration, folks. I belong to Jesus Christ. When He calls me, I'm going to go. When He tells me, hey, do this, that's what I want to do. I don't want to be found in selfishness and caught up in doing things in a way that's not really working and it's filled with sin and I'm getting frustrated by it. I want to do things the right way. I want to experience real success in my life. And by that I mean I want God at any given time to look at my life and say, I'm pleased with that. Thank you. That's what I want. That ought to be what we all desire. I want to have faith like Enoch. Not a big event faith. You know what I'm talking about? Joshua and the children of Israel walking around Nineveh. That is big event faith. Moses, go before Pharaoh. That is big event faith. I want everyday faith too. I love the big faith. The big event faith, I love that. But I want the everyday faith. I want the one step after the other faith. I want the in every decision and every situation faith. Because that is the only way we're going to please Him. If I walk with Him in faith every day. A relationship is strong with Him and stronger than any other I could forge here on earth. If that is what we want, there's some repentance that must take place. If that is what we want, there's some new habits that must form. There's some old habits that have to die away. There's some changes to calendars and schedules and priorities that must take place. But it is achievable. And not just achievable, but commanded for us. So, you know, Lord, don't command something He won't help us to do. He would never tell you to do something impossible. So let's trust in Him in that way. And walk the way Enoch did. Heavenly Father, Lord, we desire lives of faith. We desire lives that please You. But Lord, they can't be done our way. They can't be done in a world of constant mistakes and selfishness. So Lord, help us to repent of our sin. Help us to faithfully follow You. Help us to invest and grow our relationship with you so that, Father, we can please you. Lord, we're not asking to go early. But, Father, what we're asking for is a life that pleases you, a life that brings you honor and glory. Lord, I pray for that so often. I hope those words don't get cheap in repetition. When people look at me, I want that to be honor for you. When I do stuff, I want people to give you the glory. I don't want to bring a shame or reproach onto you. So, Lord, help us. Help us to walk right. Lord, dole out your spirit. Lord, strengthen your spirit within us so that, Father, we could serve you the right way. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen.